It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram, live from the campus of Hillsdale College in beautiful Hillsdale, Michigan. Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. Here are three big things you need to know. One, a deal is in place, but it's not done yet. President Biden and House Speaker McCarthy hitting the phones today to sell the debt ceiling deal they struck. As holdouts remain within their respective parties, House expected to vote Wednesday. Democratic-controlled Senate that also needs to pass before the June 5th deadline. Two, Michigan's average gas price is up 3 cents a gallon in the past week, $3.60. AAA Michigan says the price is up 10 cents from last month, but about a buck lower than last year. Cheapest fuel in Flint, Marquette has the highest price at $3.70 per gallon. And three, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis set to head out on his first presidential campaign tour officially this week. DeSantis formally entered the race last week and is expected to visit a dozen cities throughout Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. That's where we start this hour two of the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us. John Burns coming up this hour. He will talk about Veterans Affairs, the VA budget, and more this day after Memorial Day. Michael Lucchese coming up on U.S. trade policy, Sue Peschen to an Alzheimer's treatment, what's being done and what might be possible as well. Hour three, if you're sticking around, and you should, Colin Anderson from the Free Beacon, and legendary rock and roll manager Harvey Lisberg, the manager for Herman's Hermits, 10cc, and other bands. He'll join us to talk a little bit about his experiences in the world of rock and roll, fun people he met, and neat experiences. Little off politics for us in hour three here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for being alongside today. Mentioned in hour one, the debt limit deal that's in place. Again, phone calls going out today to work on some members who might not be all in favor. Chip Roy is one of them. We'll bring you his objections coming up in a little bit as he laid those out on Twitter over the weekend. What's in this debt limit deal, if you weren't paying attention over the weekend? Well, it suspends the debt limit for 2 years. What that means is there is no new number. Right now, $31.4 trillion. They won't set a new debt limit number. They will suspend it for 2 years, get past the presidential election into 2025, and whatever we're spending or whatever the debt limit, whatever the debt is on that day the suspension expires is the new debt ceiling. So theoretically, with Republicans in control of the House for the next nearly 2 years, shouldn't have to worry too much about excessive spending in budgets, but still, it's only a 2-year suspension of the debt ceiling. There are some spending cuts and adjustments for 2 years, then suggestions for the 8 years after that. There is a new natural gas pipeline approved from West Virginia to Virginia, helping out Joe Manchin. Some of the IRS funding, the $80 billion has been clawed back, about $20 billion of that $80 billion taken back for the IRS to go after people like you, me, others. New work requirements for government benefits. There's also new limits put on the president's ability to suspend student loan payments, which have been suspended since back in the COVID era. They will go back in place at the end of August of this year. So all those things in place. Brian Reitel, who I see on Twitter, is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and also formerly Senator Rob Portman's chief economist. So he is deep into the weeds on the spending provisions and how money gets moved and what it means for the future. He had a thread over on Twitter that I will relay to you here because it does a better job than I could ever do of explaining what all the machinations inside do when it comes to spending and where the money's going. So this text, the deal, imposes caps on regular, non-emergency, discretionary spending with a 0.8% cut in 2024 and annual 1% hikes from 2025 through 2029. But he says there are many caveats and asterisks that may render those figures mostly meaningless. Why? Well, the spending caps for 2024, 2025 are placed in statute within a law. The 26 to 29 caps are just suggestions. They are unenforceable. There's no penalty to violate those suggestions from 26 to 29, so you can't necessarily count on it. Next, he says there are reports of an unwritten agreement, those are always fun, between the White House and Republicans to push up 2024 and 2025 levels above the caps by using a series of workarounds and gimmicks. For example, reports are, as we just mentioned, around $20 billion in scheduled future IRS funding, that's funding like 6 to 10 years from now, would be canceled and repurposed into $10 billion in higher domestic appropriations for 2024 and again in 2025. So what happens, this is a key question, what happens when planned future spending is cut, in this case the IRS funding, to pay for temporary new spending today on domestic programs? Well, he says two things usually happen. The new temporary funding becomes permanent, becomes a part of a budget and part of budgeting going forward, so it becomes a permanent part of the budget, those temporary increases. And those future cuts, in this case to the IRS, get replenished later. They'll go back 4 years from now, 5 years from now, say, hey, let's put back in that funding we cut years ago for the IRS. So both funding cliffs get canceled, usually, and both expenditures become permanent. The temporary funding numbers and the later cuts that were made, they get refunded in the future. So something to watch out for. Brian Reitel, Twitter, says there was roughly $28 billion in COVID clawbacks that also could be used as offsets to push 2024 and 2025 discretionary spending higher. Even if these offsets are real, the extra $10 or $20 billion in new discretionary spending in 24 and 25 will not be temporary. It will surely be renewed each year moving forward to avoid a ratchet down later. He says this is how spending caps die. As soon as Congress busts the cap in year one, it has to bust the cap every subsequent year to renew that spending and avoid a ratchet down. So those non-binding targets from 26 to 29 become especially fake. He says there's vagueness, there's open doors for loopholes on both sides here. Brian Reitel has that thread over on Twitter as to why some of the spending numbers and promised spending cuts may be hard to realize. It's Washington. It's always hard to realize. It's an environment in which the New York Times, as I told you earlier today, looks at a 1% spending increase and calls it a spending cut. They say, you know, due to inflation, it's really a cut when you think about it. It's only going up 1%, so it's really a spending cut. That's the kind of environment you work against here. Chip Roy will hear from some of his objections to this final debt ceiling deal coming up a little bit later on in the program. This portion of the Steve Gruber Show brought to you by Wolverine Water. It's Michigan's premier water treatment company. Wolverine has been locally owned and operated for nearly 75 years. Michigan people giving you the best water of your life. So check them out at WolverineWaterSystems.com. That's WolverineWaterSystems.com. John Burns coming up next here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Somewhere around 400 feet off the ground, an RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. When I first got out, I felt like my whole life had been smushed down to just medical appointments. I was going to occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. I'm not sure I would still be here if I didn't find the Friends and Wounded Warrior Project that I did. Because there was a long period after the injury where I really didn't understand why I was still here. It felt like I had lost everything. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
My son Finn was born with congenital heart disease. He ended up spending about the first 8 months of his life in the hospital. During that time, he endured 10 surgeries, including an open heart surgery. Starlight Children's Foundation has played an important role in my family's life. For 5 weeks when he was a baby, Finn lived in a Starlight Hero wagon. You could not understand the pure joy of having him go from a hospital bed into his favorite red wagon. Starlight doesn't just give items that hospitalized kids can use to keep themselves happy, but also memories, moments, and experiences which are so needed in times like these. They allow sick kids to just be kids for a little while. The support that Starlight provides to families like mine is an integral part to creating happiness at a time when there's very little to be found. Learn more about how Starlight Children's Foundation brightens the lives of sick kids by visiting starlight.org today.